On Tuesday, I celebrated a funeral in Lafayette for a family friend, 92 years old, Rose Moss. And Dr. Brant Petrie was in attendance. His sister-in-law had married into the family. Dr. Brant is a protege of Dr. Scott Hahn and a scripture scholar, so I had to be on my P's and Q's preaching from the scriptures there. But there was a couple of funny things from Rose Moss's life. She was a New Orleans Saints fan, and whenever they would score a touchdown, she would stand up and say, "Go, go, go," and then they would replay it on the TV, and she said, "Look, they scored again," and say, "Go, go, go." She didn't know it was just a replay. And one of the nurses told her, when they told her she'd be on hospice, the nurse told her to just have faith, as if you're going to live longer. And she said, "I've had faith for 92 years. I want to go see Jesus." And so she did. And so she did. But at that funeral, I met a lady, we'll call her Joan to keep her anonymous, but she said something pretty powerful to me. She had been raised Catholic, but had left the church for 20 years and came back. And she said the fundamentalist churches that she went to, it almost destroyed her. She remembered Jacob Aranza, who later founded Our Savior's Church, spewing anti-Catholic venom at the Quad, at USL in those days. But she didn't go to his church, but she went to other fundamentalist non-denominational churches. And she said, "It almost destroyed me." And I said, "That's pretty powerful words. What do you mean by that?" And she said, "Well, the once saved, always saved teaching, I just never could accept that, where you say, 'I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior,' and then it doesn't matter morally what you do after that because you are saved." And she said, "It just didn't make sense." And then another thing was, in those churches, they taught her that everything bad that happens to you, if you hurt your finger, that's the devil. So everything is almost the devil. And you're always in a sense of defeat because of sufferings that we do go through in life. And maybe some things are from the devil, but not everything. And so they don't have that sense of offer up your sufferings to the Lord, things that happen to us that can be good and can help us and others to grow. And so she finally came back to a Catholic church and she said, "Why did I ever leave? This is what I've been looking for, the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother." She prayed the rosary and received such peace from doing that. And so now she is still very happy as a Catholic. And I thought that spoke to our scripture readings today of religious experience, as Isaiah had this powerful experience of the divine and the worship going on in heaven that we see in our Mass today. Peter and Paul as well, all three of them repent immediately. And that's why at the beginning of Mass, we have a little penitential rite where we beg the Lord's mercy because we're coming into the presence of the divine and we immediately experience, "Lord, I am not worthy. I am a sinner. Please have mercy upon me." And indeed, the priest says right before he comes to proclaim the gospel, and he says that prayer over the deacon, if the deacon proclaims the gospel, as Deacon Tim did today. But he says, "Cleanse my heart and my lips, O Lord," or "Cleanse my lips and my heart, O Lord, that I may proclaim your holy gospel worthily." So the very same words from Isaiah. "I am a man of sinful lips, among a people of sinful lips," which just means all of our sins together. Of our words and our actions and thoughts and everything. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Make us worthy of you. So there is that theme of repentance and also of vocation, of the calling of the Lord. Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And Jesus tells Peter, "Now you're going to be fishing men," where he had been catching fish before. And I think Jesus is asking each and every one of you to go out into the deep as well. Now, imagine for Peter that you would fish during the night. That's when the fish swarm. So you fish during the night and you fish in the shallower parts where the fish go to get the minnows and things like that. And here Jesus is coming and asking Peter to fish in the deep and during the day. Doesn't make sense. And Peter's the fisherman, not Jesus, right? But he does it by his command. And the boats are about to sink because of the catch of fish that they get. So Peter knows he's in the presence of God. the divine. And he immediately calls him Lord instead of just Master. Lord, Dominate, Lord. And so where is Jesus calling you to go deeper in your relationship with him, deeper in your trust of where the Lord is calling you to? We can all meditate on that in our lives. It's kind of an exciting thing to think about, maybe a little scary, but we have to trust in the Lord. He will provide. And maybe one way you can do that is to come Wednesday, February the 19th for our Arise night. We'll have worship and praise music here, and then prayer for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, little small prayer groups praying over people for healing and gifts. So come on out and see where the Lord might be calling you into a deeper relationship with him. Now, if you notice listening to that reading from the prophet Isaiah, the things that he experienced in heaven are the things that we also use in our worship of heavenly glory, but in our earthly mass. From Isaiah and also Psalm 138, we have the holy, holy, holy as we pray at mass. You've got angels, as we have angels here with us, each one of your guardian angels and other angels here to worship the Lord. You have a temple or a church. You have the glory of the Lord proclaimed. You have smoke or incense and praising God, thanking God, singing to God, worshiping. These are the things that we experience in our mass as well. And Scott Hahn was a person who, kind of like St. Paul, persecuted the church. St. Paul said, Lord, I'm not worthy because I persecuted the church, and yet you have called me to be an apostle. And Scott Hahn had been a lifelong Presbyterian and had imbibed that anti-Catholic teaching that the Mass was a sacrilege because he believed that we were sacrificing Jesus over and over and over again as if the one sacrificed on the cross in the Last Supper was not enough. But we say it's the same one sacrifice that we are celebrating that is perpetuated over time so that we can all benefit from it, from witnessing it, being formed by it, the Word of God, and then his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So Scott Hahn had been studying and became a scholar on the book of Revelation, and he noticed similarities between the Catholic Mass and the book of Revelation, at least what he knew of the Mass, so he decided to go and actually witness one. And he sat in the last pew, and he had his Bible on his lap so that he could cross-reference everything and see where all the errors were, but he was amazed. He wanted to stop the Mass and say, hey, do you know what you're doing? It's right here in Scripture. And so he was going through all the parts of the Mass as it happened, and the Lamb of God, and this is my body, this is my blood. And he said, I felt all my doubt drain away. And then into the Lamb of God right before Holy Communion, he said, this is the wedding feast of the Lamb. And then he started going to Mass every day after that, and eventually realized this was the truth. And so he became a Catholic, took his wife a little bit longer to accept it because they were strong ministry people in their families, pastors and youth ministers in the Presbyterian Church. But she eventually came along, and now one of their sons is a Catholic priest. And so God can do great things, even people that attack the church. So that's why we have to be like Saint Stephen. When Paul was there, Saul was there, and Stephen said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. If he hadn't prayed that prayer, we might not have had Paul. But Paul was converted. God had mercy on him, made him a great preacher of the church. But Scott Hahn cataloged also in the book of Revelation all these things that we see in our Sunday worship. Number one, Sunday itself, because on the Lord's Day, John was caught up into the heavenly glory. There's a high priest, there's an altar, there's numbers of priests, there's vestments, there are consecrated celibates, there are lampstands, we use candles, there's an act of penitence, there's incense, a book and a scroll, a hidden manna, the Eucharist, chalices, the sign of the cross with the Tau, the word Gloria, and the Alleluia, the Holy, Holy, Holy again, the Amen, the Lamb of God, the Virgin Mary, intercession of angels and saints, kneeling, devotion to St. Michael, the archangel, scripture readings, the priesthood of all the faithful, the Catholicity of the church, because there's people from all nations, races, and so forth. There's some silence in that heavenly glory, and then it ends up with the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is what we have in this Mass here on every Sunday, and even every day that we come to worship. And worship is not entertainment. It's great to have good music, as we do. But we're not here to be entertained. We're here to give worship, praise, and thanksgiving to God for the other 167 hours of the week that He has given to us. So we should not come with the idea, I'm here to get or be entertained. But if we come to give to the Lord, then we will receive. Much more than we could ever give to Him, we will receive. Because He is the divine. He is God. And so we will always be here to preach this truth. Maybe smaller in the future, we don't know. But the Catholic Church, which is truly our Savior's church, the one He established, will be here to the end of time. And from where we go from here is like Jesus telling Peter, now you have to go catch fish. Now you have to go catch souls, human beings. And that's what we have to do. Coming to worship and praise Almighty God, we go forth from these doors to bring souls into the church, into the boat, through the net of our evangelization. So let's do it. Let's go fishing. Amen.